Hi, everyone. Welcome to another week, another episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Luz Selenia, and I'm so grateful that you are joining me this week. So I know the past couple weeks talking about shadow work and spiritual bypassing, it can get a little heavy. And it's, again, not easy stuff to deal with. So I'm going to attempt to lighten it up a little bit. Still on the track of shadow work, but more so what happens after you've done a good chunk of shadow work. Because again, healing is a journey. Shadow work is a journey. It likely will never end, unfortunately. I'm sorry that I do not have a fairy tale ending for you wrapped up in a bow, but I do want to provide some levity, because the thing is that I understand the process because I've been through it. I am going through it currently still. It's been a few years and the work isn't done yet. But somewhere along the process of really doing the work, especially initially, there's going to be times where you are going to question yourself and who you are. Because when you're doing the work, you start to realize that often your trauma, your childhood experiences, all of these things that you've been carrying have become so ingrained in who you are that you don't know who you are outside of them. Once you start to separate those things from your identity, it can be really tempting to go back, because now what? It can be scary to feel like parts of your canvas are now blank in a way. Or if you've ever done a sip and paint where they're like, oh, if you mess up, don't worry, it's okay. Just use the white paint and cover it up and you can start all over. And in a way, healing and shadow work can be like that. Not to say that it's gone. Your experiences aren't gone. But it gives you a fresh start. But that blank canvas, that white paint over your experiences can also be very intimidating. Because now what? I'm 38 years old, staring down 39 in a few months in January. Like, who am I if not all of these things that I've been through? And you can look at that as a daunting task. That's where sensuality came into play for me. Using sensuality to start to build myself and affirm myself and discover myself and learn myself and choose myself has helped me in a way where it doesn't feel like homework. It doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like an adventure. It is an adventure. I realize for me, and dare I say a lot of Black women, so much of our lives are about survival. I think there's a generational trauma aspect to that as well for Black men and Black women, that we haven't always felt the luxury of thriving. We haven't been able to experience that in all ways, not all of us. Not, you know, and maybe if you've thrived financially, there could be ways in which you haven't been able to thrive, or you didn't feel like you could thrive emotionally and spiritually. Like, there are levels to it. But as a people, as a collective, you know, we in a lot of ways are breaking forth and deciding that we don't want to live in survival mode. One of the many, many problems of survival mode is we don't get afforded the opportunity and the space to really, truly figure out who we are, decide who we are. We're just doing things to get us through the day, to get us to the next stop, to check the box, to meet the goal, because like everything is hanging by a thread. And I never want to discount that experience that has been my experience. Today, someone posted like, oh, how many places have you lived in your life? Most people say 11. And someone reposted and said 8, and I counted. And I was like, 38 years old. It's probably been between 23 and 25, if I'm remembering all of them, because my childhood memory is pretty scattered. And I'm like, wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of instability. A good portion of them were when I was a child, when I was in someone else's care. Not in any way, shape, or form in control of my life. Or I didn't feel or did that I had any control. I was just doing what I was told and going to where I was told to go. I even think of parents raising children. Like, again, you're raising children and trying to survive and trying to make sure that they have a roof over their head and food on the table and clothes on their back. And that becomes the most important things because you're trying to survive. And many of our parents didn't have the tools, weren't raised in that way, and also didn't have the time or the space to even study their own children, to help their children along the way and guide them in becoming their full, happy, peaceful, joyful selves. So when you're raised in that kind of environment with parents who didn't have it, who didn't know how to give it because they didn't have it and didn't have the time or money or even desire to or even awareness to seek out information in order to be that for their kids. A lot of us are doing this work for ourselves and for our children so that way we can turn the tide. One of the things that I love to do with clients, I did for myself, is to challenge them the way I challenge myself to sit down and write a statement of who they are. And this is something you can do by yourself or with your partner, with a friend or whatever. Sit down and write a statement of who you are without using your job title, your church title, your relationship titles. Who is that person? When you take away mother, daughter, wife, sister, employee, CEO, deacon, minister, elder, pastor, bishop, who are you? And really, really be honest when you do this. And when you write that statement, however long it is, that's your statement. You can write bullet points. You can write lists, however you want to do this. Do you like who that person is? And if you don't like, let alone love who that person is, outside of the titles, what can you do to change it? And if you do, what can you do to be more of that for yourself and for everyone around you? how do you maximize who you are for ultimate pleasure, enjoyment, fulfillment, joy, peace, insert your word here. That ultimately is what living a sensual life is for me. It's creating a very stable foundation of self-love based on supreme awareness and acceptance of who I am, to be able to show up for myself in my life for the benefit of the collective, of my family, of my friends, of my calling, of my purpose. It's using pleasure as a fuel. So, you know me, I'm always talking about my experience growing up as a church girl. And I remember there was a scripture that actually was quoted a lot in terms of, you know, lust of the flesh and, you know, making sure that we understood that anything sensual was a sin. At least that's what they wanted us to believe, wanted me to believe. And it comes from James chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 13 and go through the end of the chapter. Now, mind you, I'm not a theologian. I haven't been to divinity school, so I'm not about to exegete the word, but just go with me. So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? This is the King James Version. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. See what they did there? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I remember hearing that because, again, growing up, anything of the flesh was synonymous with sinful. Not even just how it was preached in church, but even how it was carried out in my home. My grandfather and the things that we were not allowed to do, anything that was fleshly, was worldly, was sinful, like going to the movies, going to a party, going to the beach once I started to develop a shape, wearing shorts, like anything that had to do with the body or came from the flesh. In this way, it was being sensual, was considered sinful. But if you read that same passage in another translation, not even a gold message on you. That's my preferred translation. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And this says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, There you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So in this translation, where King James said sensual, they actually replaced the word sensual with unspiritual. And I'm certain there are those who may be listening, or those that you've talked to, or those that you've said and listened to their message, they're going to say that it's the same thing. That to be sensual is to be unspiritual. Because after all, you know, we're a human person living a spiritual experience. But I would challenge you, the way I've challenged myself, to consider how we are having we're fleshly bodies living a spiritual experience, and how we're supposed to completely disregard our senses that were given to our bodies to live this human experience, this spiritual experience. I think for so long that the church has tried to at least preach this message that we are supposed to be so beyond our flesh and so spiritual that our senses don't matter to us, and they shouldn't matter. We shouldn't rely on them. They are unspiritual and they will lead us astray if we give in to our fleshly desires. It is that same type of thinking that in a lot of ways has caused people in church to hide who they really are, to seek out these desires, to fill these desires in a way that is very, very toxic to them and those that they are probably engaged with, because it's born of shame. And they likely also lack discipline and honesty and integrity. Come on, I mean, growing up in church, if you knew, you always knew the person, you know, who the deacon, the minister, whoever, that was engaging in sex, whether married or not, with somebody that we were told they should not have been. You know, there's the funny joke that people that go to Baptist churches love to say about how, like, you know, Baptist churches always got the deacon in the back smoking. And we all act like we don't know. All of these things would be considered, you know, fleshly desires because they're getting into their flesh. But I wonder if we looked at our senses, our sensuality as a gift. If we explored our sensuality and who we are and what makes us tick. Or as someone on TikTok said the other day, and I love it because it's me. Does it make for us women, does it make your pussy throb? Do you feel your heart beat in your pussy? Because if it don't make you feel that, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And I get it. There are responsibilities that we have. Everything ain't going to make our pussy thrive. But baby girl, if you don't have stuff in your life that makes your pussy throb like it got a heartbeat, you're being deprived. And none of us should be deprived of that feeling. None of us should be deprived of pleasure. None of us. Imagine if we flip the script and started living more sensually, if we became so in tune with ourselves, our bodies, our spirit, our soul, and truly knew how to feed each and every part of who we are in a way that brings us immense pleasure, how you would get up in the morning, how would you move throughout your day, how would you engage in your relationships, how would you engage with your relationship with yourself, how would you engage with your relationship with God? Because let me tell you, even my spiritual practices are dripping with sensuality. God formed me. God sees me in all of my glory. I don't have to cover up. I get to be naked, complete, authentically me. I don't have to put on. I don't have to pretend. Even when I'm having sweet, sweet love and making sweet, sweet love, God is present. And I know that even in that moment, it's worship. Magic is being created. See, the thing is, and since I'm here, we'll just go there. One of the things that I personally believe we need to start teaching our young adults when we're talking about sex, and absolutely talk to them about the physical part of it and being safe and all of these things. But we need to start teaching our young people and our adults, because there are a lot of adults who don't know either, about the spiritual aspect of sex. And really the reason why people will say, hey, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, but they don't really teach why. And the reason why is because sex and orgasms are powerful tools of manifestation. And so, as much as I'm not about judging anybody's choice, I also wish that we chose people who were aligned with us to create the magic that we want to manifest in the earth. That's sexuality. That's why healing and shadow work and inner child healing and overcoming spiritual bypassing is so important. Because not to say that you can't engage in sensual practices before you have healed, because remember, as I constantly say, healing is a journey. It is not a destination. It's not a 1, 2, 3, I'm here, I'm done. Okay, now I can do this. Now I can be worthy of love. Now I can get in a relationship. Now I can get married. Now that healing will continue even while if you're committed to it, when you go to the next level, when you make the next step and you go to the next chapter, healing is continual. Whereas Dr. Loretta Halstead said, it's cyclical. It goes around and it goes up. Or goes around and it goes down, however you want to envision it. But if we were armed with information and mature enough to truly intake that information, then we can make decisions and choices as an empowered individual, as opposed to preaching to scare people. You know, growing up, there was always that, oh, well, just get saved as if, you know, just in case for like fire insurance. Like, oh, because you don't want to go to hell. So just get saved just in case. You don't really have to believe. I'm not an advocate for that at all. I want you to have the autonomy and the information to choose to believe differently for yourself and for those connected with you and those who will come from you. Believe that healing is the children's bread. So while you're on this journey, don't forget to really treat yourself. Don't forget to enjoy life. What brings you joy and peace and happiness? And how can you offer that to yourself? Not as a replacement to romantic love or friendship love or accomplishing your goals or whatever it is, but as a foundation. As a foundation to all the other love that you will certainly attract in your life. So that you can look in the mirror and embody love. Realize that you are love. Because God is love. And God is in you. And God is you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means pleasure. That means joy. That means being sensual. Everything is included in that. I know we were taught differently. Christianity just really felt like life had to be so segmented and so rigid that we couldn't enjoy it, that we're just soldiers in the army of the Lord. No. Not at all. So I hope I accomplished my goal of this week as we've been talking about shadow work. And I pray that you really go on this journey of living a more sensual life. And if you don't know where to start, or you need accountability, or you just want to talk to somebody about what you've been going through, do not hesitate to reach out. Visit me at my website, www.lucelenia.com. Visit me on Instagram at The Radiant Sessions. Send me a message, DM me, email me at radiant@lucelenia.com, and I will be sure to get back to you. And if you would be so kind, please make sure you visit Apple Podcasts and leave me a review, and hopefully 5 stars. I love and appreciate all the feedback. And let me know what you want to hear. Let me know what topic you'd love for me to discuss, or if there's someone that you would like me to speak with, interview, send me those names and I'll definitely reach out. I'm gonna start doing interviews very, very soon. Remember to be as radiant as the sun and shine bright like a diamond. Love you all and talk to you next week.